Welcome to the Total Wealth Academy radio show, where wealth includes much more than just money. It includes family, fitness, romance, and all the other parts of a balanced life. Listen and learn how 70% of the millionaires in America made their money using real estate. Now your host, real estate investor and consultant, Steve Davis.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Trevor Davis. As a matter of fact, I'm Steve's son. And if this is the first time you've tuned in on a Wednesday, this is my second radio show. I was on last Wednesday, and I'm going to be on every Wednesday from now on doing the Total Wealth Academy radio show. So thank you so much for tuning in. I want to start off with a big, huge thanks to everybody that showed support and reached out to me for my first radio show. In a word, it was overwhelming, the amount of support that I got, the amount of encouragement that I got from members and non-members, and I'm very, very thankful for everybody that reached out. I really, really appreciated it. It really, really helped me feel very, very good about doing these radio shows, and my intention here is to always give you something you can take away from every show, even if it's just one thing. So thank you to everybody who reached out. And I was also pretty overwhelmed by the amount of people that reached out for the book. To recap on that, if you want a free copy of The Richest Man in Babylon, please send me an email, trevor@totalwealthacademy.com. That's trevor@totalwealthacademy.com. Put in the subject line radio or book, and I will send you the free PDF of The Richest Man in Babylon. So that offer is still out there, and I got a ton of emails for that. To start off with today, I want to start off really the same way as last week with the quote by Albert Einstein for us to consider. And he said, "The measure of intelligence is the ability to change." The smartest people, the truly intelligent people, are the people that are capable of identifying what is not getting them the results that they want and removing those things to switch to taking the actions that get them the results that they want. This is a huge challenge because we are hard programmed to go on a certain path, hard programmed to a certain set of actions that are going to lead to a specific set of results for not just ourselves, but many, many, many different people, millions of people in this country, because we're doing this certain specific set of things that's just not working, especially when it comes to finances. And this leads into what's called having an effective map. It's one of the biggest things that we go over during our free sample course, which is offered every week at Total Wealth Academy. The question from this is based on Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And it's the question, if you have a map and it's the wrong place, what is going to happen to you if you're using this wrong map? Let's say, I always use the example of, you're trying to get to a special spot in downtown Houston. Let's say someone's getting married and you want to be on time. It's a very, very important person in your life, but you've never been to this place. For some reason, your phone doesn't work. You know, in the age of smartphones, we can all just tap into that and Apple Maps or Google Maps. But let's say that's wrong and something is going on to where it's putting you in the wrong place over and over and over again. Is it going to make sense to keep using that same map? If Apple Maps or Google Maps is literally taking us to the wrong place, is it going to make sense to keep using that map over and over and over again? Are you going to keep trying to speed down the roads? Are you going to keep trying to gun through yellow lights? Are you even going to try and skip some stop signs and red lights? Is that what you're going to try to do to get to this destination faster? To make it very, very specific, what we're talking about is the map that most of us are given ever since we're little. And it's quite different than the map that I was given as a kid, and I'm very fortunate and thankful for that, because my parents taught me not to do these things. And for goodness sake, I ended up doing a couple of them myself and making my own mistakes. But the main map we're given is this. And we've probably all heard it before, but work hard in high school. Get a lot of extracurriculars. Do stuff you may not necessarily want to do. And not really find your passion in high school. Just load up on as many activities, load up on as many advanced classes as you can, so you can have the most impressive resume to apply for the best college. And then we get to the college part where it's, you know, get to the best college, the most prestigious college, and ends up being the most expensive college, so you can get a degree that you may not be passionate about, you may not be interested in, because the end game of that is to get a high-paying job. This high-paying job, the goal with this is not even for it to be a job that you love, a job that you want to get out of bed for, a job that you're going to feel pride in, that you're going to feel like you're making an impact and actually helping other people. You know, certain jobs, it becomes a little bit harder to see how you're helping people. You may not be direct person-to-person contact, and sometimes that gets a little blurred, but for a lot of people, if you look close enough, you can see what your job is doing and how exactly you're helping other people, because that's what every job ultimately does. I mean, a business person is in their right mind is not going to pay you something for doing nothing, not providing a service that people want to pay for. So you get a high-paying job, you climb the corporate ladder, you kiss the boss's butt, you hope that someone gets laid off or even passes away or retires and you can get that promotion after years. You save in the IRA and 401k, and we don't tell people to just take their money out of these in most situations. For some people, it's still the best thing to do, and if I were in that situation, that's what I would do. But for a lot of people, it's best to keep it in there, even if you're going to invest in real estate. But in this situation, it's to invest in these retirement accounts without really having a strategy, because you're just letting corporate America and the stock market manage this portfolio for you. And you're going to hope and pray that you retire at a point that the retirement account is on an upswing and not a downswing. Work for 40 plus years. As time goes on, 40 plus becomes 45 plus, 50 plus, 55, 60 plus. And I've literally met people well into their 80s that are still working. And it is definitely not because they want to work. This was not a job that I could say for someone at that age is going to want to do for sure. And then after you do all of this, all of these six steps, then you get to retire. That is not an effective map. That is not a nice map. This is a terrible map, and it keeps getting terrible results for people. Let me adjust that word and not say it's terrible for a lot of people. It leads to decent results for a lot of people, good results, but not the excellent, superb results that we have our thriving mind wanting us to pursue. After the break, we'll expand on that a little bit more and start getting into some of the goal setting information that we're looking at. Stay tuned.
Hi, this is Steve Davis of the Total Wealth Academy radio show. Most people think they need hundreds of thousands of dollars to successfully invest in real estate. That's simply not true. If you have $100,000 or more, you can begin passive investing today. No worrying with contractors or tenants, and you get all the benefits of real estate investing. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com, and click the free sample class button. Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Trevor Davis with the Total Wealth Academy radio show. I have a caller on the line, Bill. Bill, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Excellent. How can I help you today?
I got a couple questions. If I did a bunch of work on a house, do you have to depreciate it over 27 and a half years is one question. And another one is I had a tree fall in the garage, and the insurance company kind of stepped me, didn't pay it. The difference in money, and I was told I have to depreciate that. To me, it would seem like I'd be able to deduct that. because I had to rebuild the garage. Do you know the answer?
So, yeah, send that to me in email because I want to get you the exact answer. That should be deductible, but I do want to double check on that specific scenario because in that scenario, it's recommended for you to you should probably get some legal counsel in that because in the situations that I've heard of where it's just the insurance company, they're responsible for something, they're not paying you enough or they're not paying at all. It becomes a point where you do need to get some legal counsel in there to figure out what's going on. And even if it's just a consultation that says, hey, yes, I can help, or B, I can't, then you know what to do moving forward, whether it's nice or not. And then depreciation, you're always going to depreciate assets and what you put into these houses. And yes, that goes over that time frame. So that's one of the biggest benefits that you get.
Okay, so if I redid the kitchen and all the cabinets and all that stuff and the tubs and faucets, that's over 27 and a half years for
correct.
Okay.
Yeah, so
okie dokie.
We go into that in detail as well. Have you taken one of our free sample classes yet?
Yeah, I've taken the class before. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming out, and thanks for calling in.
All right, thanks, sir.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Okay, so we were just talking about having an effective map, and one of the things that's a little misleading about this introduction to this map is that we get the idea that it's just going to be smooth sailing throughout this entire contest. Like, it's just going to go perfectly fine, and then we're just going to hit retirement in our 60s and 70s, and it's just not going to, nothing's going to happen between point A and point B. The reality is, one day we're woken up by a financial catastrophe, either getting laid off, or getting divorced, or a midlife, quarter-life crisis. And I love to throw in the quarter-life crisis part because people in their teens and 20s are having crises where they don't understand what's this strategy supposed to do. They do understand that it doesn't work. They do understand that their parents are following it, and they understand that it's not really what they want to do. And they're trying to figure out what else there is to do, and they don't have someone to go to with that. And they're facing a crisis in their late teens, early 20s. And if any age, at any age, somebody can say, I'm X amount of years to retirement and I'm nowhere close to it, so I have to do something different. And most people end up blaming themselves and getting stuck in this self-doubt and self-deprecation that just doesn't end up helping. This problem was not with you because you didn't make up this map in the first place. You didn't wake up one day and decide on your own to work hard in high school, go to college, get a high-paying job, climb the corporate ladder, save in an IRA or 401k and work for 40-plus years, 50-plus years, and then retire. You did not make that up. I've not met anybody who's somehow gotten to that on their own. It's something that we are taught and something that's pushed very heavily in our formal educational systems because it seemed to work for a while. It seemed to be highly effective for a couple decades after World War II, but things are different now. Things have changed and the environment has changed, whether we like it or not, whether we want to admit it or not. And when things change, we have to be able to take different actions, as Albert Einstein indicated. Otherwise, we're going to pursue a map that gets us to the wrong destination. Then we get there, we look back, and we wonder, why did I pursue this type of map? Why did I pursue these type of actions? And that's often the point when it's too late for people to do anything different, and they end up living with a massive amount of regret. So after we talk about a map, and making your own map, what are you supposed to do to make your own map? The first thing you have to do is write your goal down. You have to physically write it, pen to paper, pencil to paper, writing down one single goal that you want from your time on this earth, your limited time here. What is one specific thing that you want to get from your life? That's going to be one of the most important goals you can set for yourself is what's the first thing that comes to mind whenever you think of that and ponder that question. After you write it down, you're going to want to put it in at least two locations. My two locations are in my office here at the work office and my office at home. I have a sticky note, multiple sticky notes on my monitors here. So while I'm working, while I'm answering questions, taking phone calls during the day, I'm reminded constantly of the goals that I've set for myself, the financial goals that I've set for myself, one being opening a brewery by age 40. That's one of my biggest goals. That's my biggest financial goal, is opening my own brewery. Here's the most interesting thing, though. When we talk about writing your goals down, what is the difference between writing your goals down and just thinking about your goals? The difference is absolutely massive. People who write their goals down, as the studies have shown, are getting more results from the goals that they've set for themselves. Maybe you've heard this story, but the story goes that at Harvard, there was a graduating class at the end of the 1950s, and they studied and tracked the people that graduated with written goals and the people that graduated without written goals. And they measured success in finances specifically to find out how successful are these people after 20 years, two decades. What's the difference between these people? And the saying goes that the people that wrote their goals down were overall 10 times more valuable in net worth than the group of people that did not write their goals down. Now, not to devalue the impact of the story, but after doing my research on it today, it turns out that this story specifically is made up. This is actually an urban myth, but an actual study was done, not at Harvard, and sometimes people say Yale, not at Yale, but I was able to find a study done at the Dominican University of San Rafael, California, and so this is an area just north of San Francisco. And what they found after studying 127 people is it was a relatively short-term study, but what they did is they had the score set that measured what actions they took and what results they were getting during this set period. Between the baseline, the control of people that did not write their goals down, and the people that did, plus people that wrote their goals down, wrote down action steps, and reported to a friend every week on what the status was of the goals that they were setting. So they took a score that was the base score. For the people that did not write their goals down, they were specifically instructed just to think about them. The people with the written goals ended up being 42% more effective at completing the goals that they set for themselves. 42%. The people that wrote them down, took step-by-step actions, and wrote those actions down, and had a weekly progress report to a trusted person, a family member, or a friend, they had 77% more success after taking all three of those steps. So we basically all know if it's an urban myth story or not, but we're seeing consistently that the people that are actually writing the goals down are getting better results. And there's a lot of arguments for why this is, but my favorite is the fact that it's a solidification of your ideas. It's a solidification of thought into something concrete and tangible that you can actually look at every day. You can actually pull out and show people and show them the page and say, look, this is my goal. This is what I'm striving to achieve. This is something that's driving my actions. And I think that's helpful too for people to understand you. But you have to make sure that this is someone that you trust, because those are the people that are going to support you you don't want to put yourself in a situation where someone who is not necessarily a good person, who's maybe trying to bring you down, because unfortunately there are people out there that do that, that will try and do something that may not be the most supportive. So be cautious with who you trust with this information, because your goals are one of the most important things that you bring to the world, one of the most important things that you're going to say. So make sure that you're writing your goals down. As a matter of fact, this ties into a class that we are having next Tuesday here at Total Wealth Academy that is open to members and non-members. It's literally the goal setting class. And if you are interested in taking this class, all you have to do is go to totalwealthacademy.com and you will see the link for it on there. I'll make sure I get the specific link once we get back from the break, but that's going to be next Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. And this is open to all guests. So if you're listening now and you're not a member of Total Wealth Academy, you can come out. And of course, all non-members, and if you're a member, you're welcome to bring guests as well. Last goal setting class, we had a lot of people show up. It was one of our biggest classes we've had, and it's been one of the most helpful, because Steve is going to take you step by step through the goal setting process, from where you need to get started, what are the midpoints, and what's the final success that you're going for. So thank you so much, and stay tuned, and we'll come back from the break.
That it's normal to lose money in a down market? That's just not true. Hi, I'm Steve Davis, CEO of Total Wealth Academy. Our clients make money in both the up and down markets while creating a lifetime income stream with passive real estate investing. If you have $100,000 or more to invest, you should consider this to protect and grow your money. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com, and click the free sample class button. Thank you.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Total Wealth Academy radio show. We were just talking about writing your goals down, and I had another statistic from last week that I want to let people know tuning in for the first time. When we talked about paycheck to paycheck and the lifestyle of living paycheck to paycheck, because right now, this is an article that was published on the 3rd of this month, is 64% of people in the country are living paycheck to paycheck. So they're using everything that they get in each paycheck. They're basically, they have no savings. Everything that they're using is just, everything that they get in income is being consumed at every paycheck. But the real shocker here was that people earning over $100,000 per year, they are living paycheck to paycheck at a rate of 48%. People earning over $100,000 a year, almost half of them, virtually half of them, are living paycheck to paycheck. Every month, every week, every day. An interesting experience that my dad relayed to me yesterday was when he was purchasing his Porsche, and he'd basically gone in and he held the door open for a family that was walking out. He goes in and he talks to the sales rep, and the sales rep looked a little bit shocked, aghast, not at my dad, but kind of with herself. And Steve asked, like, how are you? Like, is everything okay? Like, I'm here to get some information. And this lady just said, look, I'm just a little bit in shock because I was just talking with this family. I was going over their financials, and I just approved them for a new Porsche, a brand new vehicle. And Steve said, okay, well, what's the big deal about that? And she said, well, look, I'm just a little bit shocked because that family is only bringing in $3,500 a month, and they're getting a car payment now for over $800 a month. Combine that with insurance, and they're looking right around $1,000 a month, almost a third of what they bring in on a Porsche, on a vehicle, a fancy car with a fancy reputation. For whatever reason, for most people, it's to look flashy, to look good, and for a lot of people, to look like you have more than you really have. So that's not somebody that's at $100,000 a year, but this just shows what's happening to people to get to the point where they're living paycheck to paycheck. What people are literally doing with their finances to sabotage themselves, to be put in a position where they're going to be dependent on the government, they're going to be dependent on their kids, they're going to be dependent on corporate America, they're going to end up being dependent on people that are more financially secure, more wealthy, because they're not taking the time to learn and figure out what it is they need to do differently. And I mean, it seems like common sense, but people are doing this on a regular basis, and this type of living is what leads people, even at $100,000 a year, to end up living paycheck to paycheck 48% of the time. This is a person in the $500,000, $600,000, $700,000 house, the person with the Porsche, the person with the souped-up truck, and they're spending all of their money through lifestyle creep, as I mentioned last week, too. But the practice of basically whatever percentage you're bringing in, and it doesn't matter what, but you're automatically spending all of that on consumable junk that you really don't need. And you're not spending any of it on investments that will increase your wealth. You're just putting yourself in a more and more dependent position to where you're becoming more reliant on corporate America. You're becoming more dependent on the business that you're working at. It becomes a choice too, where do you want to spend your whole life working for somebody else's business, or do you want to get into the business of actually working for yourself? Because you're going to be working for a business whether you like it or not, and it's just a matter of, are you going to work for ExxonMobil? That's somebody's business. That was started by a person, a human being just like you, and now it's run by some different people because the people that started that particular company have long passed away. But any company, any business, was started by people just like you with some of the same fears, some of the same insecurities, psychological, mental insecurities, financial insecurities, otherwise, and they built a business, and you're working for them, and you're going to keep doing that over and over and over again, making them wealthier, making them richer, while you just continue being dependent and being stuck in what Robert Kiyosaki calls the rat race. That's not the best way for most people to live. It's not to just put down people who are starting out, because for most of us, especially when we're starting out, we're going to need to work and for other people to save up money if we are deciding we want to open up a business. But working 40 plus years just for other people's businesses, like you don't have a good idea to get started on something, like you don't have a good business idea, like you don't have a passion for something interesting that people will love to spend their money on. If we talk about beer for a second, and when I talk about beer, I always like to let people know that I'm not a big drinker, and I am not bothered whatsoever by people that don't drink at all. I love beer simply because I love the way it tastes. I love how technical it is to make. It's the funnest thing that I've ever done. And when people gave me positive feedback on my beer for the first time, it was like a light bulb went off, because that's when I figured out this was my biggest passion. And I guarantee that you have something just like that. And it may not be a consumable good like beer. It could be a service. It could be an art. It could be a performing art. But you have something that other people would love to pay you for, please do not sell yourself short and go through your time here thinking that you're not worthy of creating your own business, that you're not worthy of doing something that really makes a difference for yourself. We talked about a couple things with that map, but then I want to briefly touch on this point before we get to the final section. But this fact of life that we have to have multiple streams of income is not a secret. Last week I talked about the fact that people have been investing in apartments for over 2,000 years. Literally, in ancient Rome, people have been building apartment complexes very similar to the ones today. And people have been becoming millionaires ever since from apartments. But you have to have two streams of income. You have to have a business, and you could work at your business. And you have to have passive income too, even if you have a business. You have to have something that lets you work at what you really want to do and doesn't require you to work 40 plus hours a week. The goal that we set for our members is you have the two streams of income of earned income. It could still be your job if you love your job, but you have to have passive income that meets and exceeds your wants and needs. So if you get to a situation where you have to leave that job, you're laid off, for example, there's a corporate restructuring, or you're fired for whatever reason, people with passive income aren't going to be in a position when they walk out of that office with their stuff packed up that they're fearful for the future. They have their bills paid, so they don't have to stress out as much about this situation. Getting laid off and getting fired is extraordinarily stressful, and I've interacted with multiple people that have experienced it firsthand, and it's an extremely gut-wrenching, ego-blasting experience. But you have to make sure that you're building up a passive income stream and you're building up a business. Something that you feel passionate about, something that transforms whatever negativity you have about the situation now with whatever income source you have into something positive. Warren Buffett himself said this. Now, it's 1974, so 48 years ago, but never depend on a single source of income. Invest to create a second source. 48 years ago, Warren Buffett himself telling people this. This was not a quote that was put on my wall in high school. This was not a quote I saw on the wall at any of my teachers' rooms. But this is something that we put on the wall here at Total Wealth Academy, because you have to have multiple income streams. And it's not to say that you have to have a ton of income streams. You have to have 20 or 30, but you have to have more than one, because that's the unfortunate situation, this ultra high risk situation that most Americans face, is they're already living paycheck to paycheck. They already have to rely 100% on the single job that they have. And what happens to their income when they get laid off? Their income goes to zero. Do they typically have savings? Unfortunately, no, either. You have to make sure you are saving up money to get into investments to build a second stream of income. See y'all after the break.
If you have a financial planner, ask them these two questions. One, will I lose money in a down market? Two, do I still pay you if I lose money? If the answer to either question is yes, fire them and come see us. Our clients make money in both the up and down markets and create a lifetime income stream with passive real estate investing. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com and click the free sample class button. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com. Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody, to the final segment of today's show. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. If y'all have any questions, please give me a call, 281-558-5738. 5738. Call into KSEV 281-558-5738. Or you're welcome to send me an email to, I have my email here, trevor@totalwealthacademy.com. And if anybody wants this book too, I'm still getting emails for The Richest Man in Babylon. Send me the email at trevor@totalwealthacademy.com and put in the subject line radio or book. To finish off, I want to go over something very, very fun that I really, really enjoy, and it's food. We did a class a while back on blue zones, which is the five areas on the planet where people are living the longest. And the class that I approached was, what food are these people eating that is showing positive results for a lifetime, that's allowing them to get all the nutrients they need, all the energy they need, while preventing heart disease, while preventing mental disease and mental decline, and maintaining agility, maintaining the ability to do the stuff that they love to do with their time. And all of this is based on a book by a man named Dan Buettner. And I decided to do this part of the segment because last week during our spotlight event, had a member come up and we had a whole discussion about the blue zones. And it just really, really reminded me about how much fun that class was. And I definitely am going to be doing another class this year, to be determined for the date. But I'll be going over this whole presentation during this class. So the five places on Earth where people are living the longest are Okinawa, Japan, Ikaria, Greece, Sardinia, Italy, Nicoya, Costa Rica, and Loma Linda, California. So yes, there is one place in the United States itself where people are living an extremely long time, and has no small part to do with the diet that they decide to consume. What happens with these places is there's some distinct patterns that emerge, but one of the biggest ones is the reduction of processed meats. And processed meats are, it's not even just meat itself that's bad, but it's the meats that are cured and they're filled with nitrites and nitrates, and it's just, they're components that in the body, your body doesn't want. It's not something that you really want to put into your body, so be very, very cautious with the processed meats. When we take a look at Okinawa, Japan for the first one, and Okinawa it's an island south of Japan, it's a very large chain, but 90% of their calories on a given day are coming from complex carbohydrates. And out of that 90%, the 70% total is literally sweet potatoes. They're called Okinawan purple sweet potatoes, and they eat a ton of those every day, so they're getting most of their calories from carbohydrates. It's 4% vegetables and only 4% meat, eggs, dairy, and fish. And one of the big takeaways that I heard people, they kept saying it after the class, and that I still hear it now, is the eat until you're 80% full rule that they have in Okinawa, Japan, which in Japanese is hara hachi bunmei, eat until you are 80% full. Don't eat until you're so stuffed you feel like you cannot eat any further. Leave that little room in there that you know is there where you could possibly eat more, but you're feeling completely satisfied. You're not feeling stuffed. The final thing that they focus on in Okinawa is a moai, which is a group of lifelong friends who support each other. They meet on a weekly basis. It's literally something that's set up whenever they're kids that says, hey, this is our moai. No matter what happens, we're going to be friends, we're going to communicate with each other and support each other, and sometimes that is financially in certain situations, but we're always going to have each other's backs, we're always going to be there to support each other and talk to each other, so you're always going to have friends throughout your life. And I think the research, because this is something more subjective, but one of the things that I believe is the most important to maintaining your mental health throughout life is maintaining contact with loved ones, maintaining contact with friends, and keeping your circle tight, happy, and close. You have to make sure that you are constantly being mindful of the fact that you have to talk to your friends. You have to stay in touch with people. You have to reach out. You have to chat. You have to network. You have to stay exposed to other people. There's just something about isolating yourself that really, really causes mental decline. So make sure you're developing your MOAI. Make sure that you're developing a group of friends. And I can definitely say, in my experience, that it does get a little harder to make friends once you get past college and really once you get past high school, but it is still possible. You do have to get out of your comfort zone more. You do have to literally dedicate the time to these situations more. It's certainly less spontaneous than being a kid and just running down the street and knocking on a door and saying, hey, is my friend able to come out to play? Or just other kids come out and you're all just a huge group and you're all having fun in the street for hours. You do have to be a little more conscious of it because it's definitely not something that happens automatically. Next section is Icaria. They are huge into vegetables with 46% of their calories from veggies. They love to take naps, but another thing that comes out in a pattern is they keep their circle of friends and family close. They also focus on who's my family, who are my friends. We're going to get together on a weekly basis, hang out, cook together, talk about what's going on, and that's allowing them to relieve stress, that's allowing them to vent, that's allowing them to effectively remove these negative emotions that their brain could be focusing on by getting that open forum to talk about it. I think that's a huge part of why it's so important to stay in contact with people. Next is Sardinia. Whole grains, 47% whole grains, and 26% dairy, which is sheep and goats like Icaria. There's some stuff I've read that dairy can be an irritant, but it's pretty interesting because even though it's high in the saturated fats, which can raise bad cholesterol, when eaten in excess, most of these people are having dairy on a regular basis, and cow's milk isn't per se worse. But it tends to be sheep and goat's milk. Sardinia, some of us may know this, but it's famous for, they advocate for drinking wine. And I love wine myself. I used to work at Total Wine for a very long time. And I learned a lot about wine there. I love wine. Sounds fancy, sounds bougie, as people like to say these days, but my favorite wine is champagne. I love sparkly stuff. If it's got bubbles, I'm very much a fan. But the wine with the most antioxidants in it is the red wines because they're fermented with the skins and it takes the antioxidants with it. So if you want to be healthy and drink wine, focus on the reds. Costa Rica, tons of whole grains, 26%, 24% dairy, 14% vegetables. This, there's a little bit of a brain teaser in all of these because a lot of us are given this information these days in the U.S. that says, hey, avoid this, avoid that, or this is great now, this is bad, and it seems to just keep cycling, and it starts to feel a little bit crazy sometimes. It's like sometimes I just want to eat and just enjoy it, not think about it too much. But here's one. 11% of their calories in Nicoya, Costa Rica are coming from sugar, added sugar. Cane sugar that's added to their strong coffee. So they're kind of suggesting that because it's put in the coffee, it's not as bad. But there is some evidence that too much sugar in general is bad because it's empty calories. It doesn't have a lot of nutrients attached to it. And often it's just added to our foods and it's not really, it shouldn't be there, but it's just added calories that we do not need and the body doesn't want. Finally, to wrap up, we're looking at Loma Linda, California, which is the home of the Seventh-day Adventists. And they are focusing on 33% whole grains, tons of fruits, 27% fruits, and only 4% meat. They're drinking lots of water, and their activity to stay active is to network with their church. They're very tight with their church community. They stay active with volunteering, and their goal is to drink 5 or 6 glasses of water a day. So that's about 8 ounces each. So you're getting a good 48 ounces or more of water each day. And I always recommend people stay with water. If you're drinking something on your desk, make it water rather than soda. The final thing I'll leave y'all with before we wrap up is, in college, my college professor said, if there's one thing you can eat more of, it's eat beans. So if there's one thing you want to take home, eat more beans, put them in your diet. Thank y'all so much. That's what all I got for today. Send me an email, trevor@totalwealthacademy.com, if you have any questions. This has been the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show. I'm Trevor Davis. Thank y'all so much, and I'll see y'all next Wednesday.
You've been listening to the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show. Please remember that this show is for entertainment purposes only and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investing advice. Always get a professional opinion before making any investment decisions. To find out more about coaching and consulting at Total Wealth Academy, visit TotalWealthAcademy.com and attend one of our free sample classes on real estate investing. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.